Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's Lake Life Weekend podcast. My name is Dirk and I'm your host, and we are already in weekend number 24. And please stay tuned. We have a really interesting guest today. We have Troy Hoekstra. He is the developer of the Marriott Hotel, the newest addition here in Detroit Lakes, the hotel right by the beach and by the marina. So stay tuned for this to learn about how that happened and what's going to come. We have quite a few... I'm sorry, I'm out of breath here. It's so hot out. We have quite a few news updates and some interesting things happening. I want to tell you a little story that happened this past weekend. As I shared the Ronald McDonald ride, and I wasn't truly aware of what that entails, and when I was in Frazee to pick up my meat for the weekend's barbecue, the police made some barricades, and I was asking what's happening, and they said, the bikes are coming, yeah. And then I realized, like, oh, that's that ride that started in New York Mills. And sure enough, there was over 1,000 motorcycles, and there was a total of 1,400 riders arriving and then making their lunch break. And it was all kinds of motorcycles, all kinds of people, interesting characters. I took a lot of pictures. I posted some on our Facebook page. If you haven't followed that yet, please do. It was really beautiful. It was just a very amazing experience for me. So yeah, stay tuned. If you haven't seen that ever, take note. Next year it's quite an event, especially with kids, I suppose. Lots of big motorcycles. So some news updates here. We have a local artist featured at the Art of the Lakes Gallery in Battle Lake. There's an opening reception on June 16th, this Friday, from 5 to 7 p.m., showcasing her watercolor paintings. The show of Grace Haverty will be from June 15th through June 30th. So visit the Lakes Gallery in Battle Lake. And more information on the Purim Focus online also. You'll find a link on our website. And I would like to mention as well, there's lots going on in the arts. Mark Weiler of Ecce Art Gallery from downtown Fargo, he opened a satellite gallery for this summer in Park Rapids, right downtown in Park Rapids. And he showcases local artists too. And it's a small space. I've seen some pictures. I haven't been there yet. But I would like to recommend, if you're in the area and if you're in the arts, you should definitely check that out. Ecce Art Summer Gallery in Park Rapids. Then we have a new bait and tackle shop in Frazee. Owners Steve and Lindsay Reynolds had the idea to open their shop, their own business, a day after getting their own fishing supplies around town. And at this point, because they are not doing this full time, it will be open from 5:30 to 7 p.m. for now. It's called Prime Time Bait Shop and Supplies, and it's located on Lake Street in Frazee. There is a gas station and kitty corner, I believe, on the other side. There is this shop. It's not too big to explore Frazee, if you don't know. I'm sure you'll find it. There's an article at the Frazee Forum, and we have it linked from our website, lakelifeweekend.com. Check that out. Then we have a new 10-mile addition to the North Country Trail. I like that. I really like hikes, as you know. I have a dog, and that sounds really interesting. A 10-mile addition has been added to the North Country Trail. It takes you off-road through the woods, then mowed trail across native prairie and urban pathways. The North Country Trail Association's Minnesota Waters and Prairie Chapter, together with community members, volunteers, and business owners, gathered to celebrate the opening of the trail this past week. So it's open now. There should be a full article found at the Fergus Falls Journal, and we have a link from lakelifeweekend.com too. There's lots going on this weekend, and by the way. Last week was Holly Rodeo, and Holly had big events. Now we have Turtle Fest in Purim, and as you know, we are recording here from Purim, so I'm not right a yellow jacket yet, but That's, I think, the team here, the high school. But we have Turtle Days, and so I think it believes it starts Wednesday, and it's pretty much all week. And you should definitely check that out. On Friday, there's a parade. I think it starts at 5:30. Check out our website for the complete schedule. And then on Saturday night, we have Battle of the Bands at the Brew, Ales and Eats on Main Street here. And there's cash prizes, gift cards, and more. It starts at 4 p.m. and it lasts through 8 p.m. on this Saturday. Then we have Turtle Fest Rodeo. That's what I want to try out. It's also Saturday, 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. at the East Otterdale County Fairgrounds. It's Perm's third annual Turtle Fest Rodeo. And yeah, at the fairgrounds, I think you can either take Google Maps, or its address is 455 4th Avenue Southeast Perm. And then another interesting event off Turtle Fest, it's music at Maplewood State Park. It's also this Saturday, 7 p.m. through 8:30 p.m. It's at the Josh Hansen Memorial Picnic Shelter. And there's Jeff Johnson, a former resident of Pelican Rapids and owner of the former Johnson's Furniture Store in Pelican Rapids. He will be returning to Maplewood State Park to share his vocal talents along with the guitar and stories of Maplewood. It will be at the Josh Hansen Memorial Picnic Shelter June 17th, 7 p.m. through 8:30 p.m. Then also at the Richwood Winery here, if you want to stay close to Detroit Lakes, music with Jim Bird live at the Richwood Winery Saturday 4 p.m. through 6 p.m. In the morning, if you live on Big Cormorant, don't forget there's the Lake Association meeting also this Saturday 9 a.m. through 10 a.m. at the Cormorant Hall, Town Hall and Community Center. That's off County Highway 5. Then on Sunday is Father's Day, so we can celebrate. And there's a Father's Day dinner held at Billy's Corner Bar and Grill. So come to Virgus to celebrate Father's Day. And interesting, actually, a little anecdote. As you know, I'm from Germany. Father's Day was, I think, 10 days ago in Germany. And the Father's Day is not that the family does everything for the father. The father actually has one day off, and they take a little wagon, pack it up for beer, and then they go in the park and they have a picnic for themselves, all the fathers. So Father's Day is a little bit differently celebrated. I don't know, maybe some people celebrate it the way they do it in Germany. My father never celebrated it, but it's also on a Thursday. There's it's a holiday every Thursday. 10 days ago now, I forgot what it was. Anyways, upcoming week, we just as a note, Otterdale Summer Concert, June 20th. We have Chris Frost, who will perform at the City Park in Otterdale. And he will focus on contemporary music, playing a lot of songs from the 1980s and 90s. June 20th, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. through 8:30 p.m. And if you're in Detroit Lakes, next Tuesday, you should come to the park at Washington Avenue, down by the pavilion there. And then there will be Danny Craswell, who will be performing at the park. Now, it doesn't say what, I apologize. June 20th, 7 p.m. through 8 p.m. And you should check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and you will find all the updates. And I would shout out a special thanks to our sponsor. Jack Chivers Realty is assisting us here, helping us to create this podcast. And we invited guest speaker Troy Hoekstra, who is the developer for the Marriott Hotel in downtown Detroit Lakes. It's the latest addition to the hospitality arena here in the area, and it looks like a very fine hotel. It has a offsite restaurant with beautiful lake views. The hotel has beautiful lake views. I believe there's a pool. And then on the upper floor, on the third level, there's condos for sale, and you will have an open house sometime coming up soon where you can tour everything and take a look. It's really an interesting project, and Troy Hoekstra will share with us how it came upon and how long it took and how difficult it was and what we can expect of the future for the area with this latest hotel addition. So thank you, Jack Chivers Realty. And also, if you are not living in Lakes Country yet, or you don't have a cabin, you want to meet the Chivers, go to jcrlake.com, jcrlake.com, or Jack Chivers realty.com, and you have a very nice map tool where you can browse over the whole area to find a lake or a lake home of your likings. So now I transition this over to our interview. Thank you for tuning in and have a good weekend. Well, hello. I'm sitting here with Troy Hoekstra from St. Cloud, and we are today speaking about the new Marriott development on Little Detroit Lake, at the Detroit Lakes area here. And we are far ahead. We already completed with the outside shell,
right.
And we are hopefully opening soon. And yeah, I think this is really an interesting special guest to learn about what has happened, how easy or how difficult it was to build something new and something great for the future with new restaurant amenities, and just bringing more value to the community and to Lake Life guests in the area. Welcome, Troy.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you. I just mentioned you come from St. Cloud.
Yeah.
This is not your first development, I would assume.
No, not at all. I don't know how far back you want to go on me, but I was actually born and raised just outside of Wilmer, Minnesota. You know, just a couple hours south of here.
Okay.
So I grew up on a traditional farm, and we had turkeys and farmland, and I did all the usual things. So I picked rock and baled hay and pulled weeds and did all those things. And then when I graduated from high school, I moved to St. Cloud,
mm-hmm.
and met my wife there. I've been married 24 years. We've got three kids. And from there, after graduating, I went to work for Grand Casinos for a number of years. I worked in marketing and public relations for them, and then gradually got involved in the expansion of the casinos. So when Grand Casino Mille Lacs and Hinckley expanded with hotels and event space and that sort of thing, I was involved with all of that because I worked in marketing.
Yeah.
I worked for the division that was going to handle all that real estate. And so we weighed in heavily on the use and you know, all the nuances of what needed to be included in that real estate. And then from there, I left after 5 years, 6 years, and I went to work for a publicly traded staffing company, like a competitor to Manpower.
Sure.
And with that company, I traveled the country and opened up 50, 60 offices in 18 different states in about a six-year period. So I was on the road constantly with the company and doing real estate in all kinds of different markets. St. Louis, Denver, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Minneapolis. I mean, take your pick. Anywhere from Duluth to Tucson in about 18 states, I've been there. And then...
and real estate, picking locations and growing the business,
yep,
for them.
Yep, exactly.
Always been involved.
So I would identify the market. I would find a real estate location and office. I would negotiate the lease. I would handle the build out of the space. I would hire the staff. I would train the staff. And once they were up and going, I would move on to the next market.
Okay.
So I would go to Denver, for example, and I opened up 12 offices in Denver. And then I'd go to St. Louis and then so on and so forth. Yep. Yep.
And then you arrived in developing.
Yep. And so that experience led me to deciding to kind of go it on my own. So I had a young family at the time and I was tired of being gone. My, our first children were twins.
Okay.
So right out of the gate, yeah, two kids. And I was gone, you know, and you're on the road missing the first walking, talking. And so my twins were about a year and a half old. I just decided I didn't want to miss that. And I left that company. I was in charge of about a third of the country for that company. And had a good corporate position, but just decided I want to do my own thing. So I walked away and started my own company with really no idea what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but I just figured I'd figure it out. So I left that company and I started, kind of started my personal real estate career, just buying some houses here and there and rehabbing them and turning them. And then I got into doing some small commercial strip mall stuff. And things just built. I got involved in hotels probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
Roughly.
In St. Cloud?
In St. Cloud, there was a construction company in St. Cloud that was doing lots of hotels. And that company and I shared the same attorney. So we had a common connector in an attorney we were both using. And that attorney connected us and said, hey, you guys should get together with, you know, kind of my mm-hmm. development experience and willingness to go out and find opportunities and work them through the system, and then the construction company's ability to build them. He thought that'd be a good fit. So I did make that connection, and we had this kind of a partnership, and we probably did 400 or 500 hotel rooms in a 6-year period of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I really felt after doing that in
all
that
over Minnesota?
Five states. Yeah, five state area. So after that amount of time, I was feeling like the value in the project was the development on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was my opinion, there's a lot of good contractors in Minnesota and in the area that could build it. The value in the project is really working out all the budgets on the front end, finding the right partnerships.
And a little bit more visioning on the location and the
yep,
vision
the
for
location,
that.
The location, working with cities for any benefits that could be had. Just to me, the financing, who the partners were, not only just raising the equity, but finding right partners, create the right partnership culture, making sure groups would get together. To me, I think that I've always felt like the value is putting the project together. It's not just seeing a piece of land and saying, let's build this.
Mm-hmm.
It's how can we build this, create jobs, redevelop the site. You know, it's one of the things that I like about development that I've always felt like with what I do, we create something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We go to a raw piece of land, or we go to some dilapidated building that needs to be torn down, and we replace it with, you know, this new thing.
Sure.
And that new thing requires, you know, local companies and local jobs, and it, you know, hires people. And like our hotel here, I mean, we'll have 20 employees full and part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And that hotel then draws a restaurant, which is going to have 10 to 15 full-time people and probably an equal amount of part-time. Okay. So mm-hmm. I always enjoyed that part of it. And I thought my other two career roles, we sort of relied on other people. You know, we relied on customers come to the door and give us something. This was kind of the development side is just the opposite. I think you create, you bring, you build something that didn't exist, and that's different than working in the service industry.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's talk a little bit about the Marriott is going to be right. the hotel brand.
Yeah.
And then how long are we opening this fall or this summer already?
Yep, this summer.
So everything this summer is going to be
right.
open. How, yep. looking back, was it 3 years? When did you begin communication with owners, landowners, or city? How long did it take?
Yeah, it took about 2.5 years from the first conversation to when we actually, you know, knew that we would have approvals and be able to do the project. This would have been my 13th or 14th hotel that I've done. But very complex in terms of what needed to be done. So
what's so unique
yeah,
compared to your others?
Yeah, very, very unique because, first of all, with the land, we had to assemble 3 acres of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because of the DNR's influence on the lake and their influence on the property around the lake, you know, there's certain guidelines that they govern. So one of the first governances that they have is you need to be sort of approximate to maybe 50% of your total space has to be green space.
Mm-hmm. For the
if you have a hotel, and in our case, hotel, restaurant, and some condos, we needed about 1.5 acres, 1.75 acres of total land to actually do that, which means you needed to buy a little over 3 acres because half of your property has to be total green space.
Huh.
So the first thing was really, can we assemble enough land to do this? Because you really got to buy double what you need.
Yeah.
And there's an economic impact to that. So there was that part of it. And then part of the other requirement was our holding pond. You know, because we're approximate to the lake, we had to have a pretty substantial holding pond and drainage system to make sure that, you know, there's nothing, for lack of a better phrase, bad leaking back into the lake.
Like stormwater for heavy rainfall?
Stormwater, but it's not just stormwater. You have to be thinking about you know, if you've got a parking lot, for example, cars are going to park in that parking lot. There's going to be oil dripping from those cars. And then when it rains, where does that oil go?
Sure.
As an example. The lot before us and the land before us was in pretty bad shape, and there was really no environmental kind of controls at all. I mean, people were just sort of parking in these areas, and if things dripped or got dumped or whatever, it just went into the soil and I suppose eventually into the lake. So we've got a pretty substantial holding pond there that's designed to capture 100% of the runoff from our site.
So definitely an improvement to the previous ownership.
Yes.
At looking at it that way.
Yeah, just from a pure runoff perspective. Mm-hmm. And then we put a rain garden next to the hotel, the length of the hotel, which is another filtration system that utilizes plants and kind of a depression in the ground to keep it simplistic. And then on part of our parking lot, we did not pave it. We actually used a grid system that you would find maybe at a fairgrounds or somewhere where you'd park on grass.
Oh, I know this in Europe. We have like kind of cement grid, and then there's still grass in between. That I've never seen that here.
This grid system is actually a new system that we, you know, kind of investigated nationwide to try to find.
Okay.
So the way this works, this is actually like a plastic honeycomb type product that rolls out.
Uh-huh.
And then you just lay it on the ground, and then you backfill over it with dirt, and then scrape it level. So you'll see this grid, and then grass gets planted. So it looks like a checkerboard pattern of grass and black
surface. I can
see
it a little bit.
But it's got to be super durable, because obviously if we were ever to need the fire department or anything like that, this product would have to support that sort of weight.
That weight. Oh.
You can imagine a fire truck you know, weighs... How many tons?
17 tons.
Thousands
12.
Of pounds.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, to use that grid, we actually called the fire department, find out how much their vehicles weighed, weighted down with people and water, and it far exceeded all of the requirements. So, we had to contemplate that in the site as part of this whole runoff thing.
So we don't have tar parking. We have
tar. We're about 2/3 of the lot is tar, and that's what the holding pond can handle. And then the rest is this
new grid system.
Yeah, sort of this grid system that's made of grass and dirt, and then this kind of plastic frame that goes in there. Very, very durable. It's a lifetime product.
Okay.
So people come to our site, it might look a little bit different from what they're used to. We don't have this big sea of tar parking lots all striped. We have some of that, but we have kind of unique feature there. And then all the grassy area, the DNR supplies you with a list of plant life that they would like to see.
Uh-huh.
And so all the plant life that we have on that acre and a half is designed, it's not just to put the plants there, but it's designed to attract wildlife.
Really?
So it's, believe
like
it or not.
Bees and butterflies?
Butterflies, exactly one of them. So what you're really going after is butterflies, small birds, some of those kinds of things that would you sort of look at the plant life and say, what would be here if we weren't?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Right? So if people weren't here, what would have, you know, what sort of native grasses would have grown in this area? So half of our site, about an acre and a half, is all of these native grasses designed to attract native
animals,
life,
insects,
and so on.
I think that has not been really pointed out in the past as far as I studied. But like the new development actually reconnects that site way better and to nature and also to protecting the lake.
Yeah, if you sort of get past the idea you're building a four-story building in a restaurant, if you look at the rest of the project, 50% of the land that we bought, and I don't mind saying, I mean, we paid about $2.3 million for all the property. So in theory, $1.15 million went towards an acre and a half of grassy area with native plant
life. To protect the lake and the environment.
But if you're going to do the other, you have to do that. That's a requirement.
True.
And
true.
So economically it worked, and so we did it. And for me it was kind of funny because I got this list from the DNR, and one of the plants that they suggest they want you to plant is milkweed.
Oh, really?
And that's a plant that when I grew up on the farm,
yeah, you hate
you
it.
Try to get rid of yeah. that, you know, was counterproductive yeah. to crops. So sure. I thought, here we go. All these years later, I'm now planting
it
this
all
on
comes
purpose.
Back.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of crazy.
Tell us a little bit more about, one, the restaurant, but at first maybe the hotel. How many rooms?
Yep. The hotel project is a Fairfield by Marriott, and we chose that product because I felt and we felt in visiting with Marriott that that particular product best fit with the community.
Describe product, like the
well,
hotel
product
rooms.
Meaning
every franchise is different. We don't know anything about hotels.
Yeah. If you just look at Marriott, what options does Marriott have? I mean, you can do a full service Marriott, which, you know, would have to have a restaurant in it and valet parking and maybe a spa, sauna, event space. You know, clearly a market the size of Detroit Lakes would not support that
okay.
because you'd need hundreds of rooms to be able to support all of the expenses with that.
Sure. And then occupants.
Your
okay.
rooms are your generator, and there's no need for a 200 room convention event center.
No.
In DL, it just wouldn't work. So then you look at what are their other offerings. You know, you could do a Spring Hill Suites, which is kind of an extended stay concept. You could do the Fairfield by Marriott. So the Fairfield by Marriott is kind of considered to be their limited service hotel. And we thought that was the best fit. I mean, it's the hotel where the room rates are, you know, $100 or whatever the numbers end up being. Some days more, some days less.
Mm-hmm.
You're offering the free breakfast. We've got a pool. We've got a fitness room. You know, there's a mixture of double queen, king, suite mm-hmm. rooms that you would expect to find that would suit, you know, pretty much anyone from a single traveler to families. And then... you know, so really it's about price point. Where does it fit in your market? What sort of flexibility is Marriott going to give us with that to best reflect the community or where we are?
Mm-hmm.
So is this, you know, brand going to have real rigid development standards in terms of its look? So imagine, you know, taking a building that might be built to fit in downtown Minneapolis and putting it on the lake in Detroit Lakes. Maybe architecturally wouldn't fit. You need something that's going to have... you know, some sort of a nautical feel or something that would fit the architecture of the community.
Sure.
And it's and so they've been pretty flexible on that type of brand
okay.
Standard with us. So.
Interesting. So you don't just buy a franchise concept and everything is tailored already. So the franchisee also allows you to adapt the community.
Yeah. For example, I mean, the standards on the inside of the hotel are pretty inflexible. So
okay.
they are going to require you to have a certain type of finish and a certain room mix and a certain
color of the carpet.
Breakfast program. Okay. Oh, yeah. They'll define the color of the carpet and the lamp you need to have in the corner
okay.
of your rooms and all those things.
Okay.
But from an outside perspective, in terms of your fit into the community, there's actually a fair amount of latitude to make those decisions.
Okay.
So
it was a good community. Marriott was... flexible enough
and then you also, you know, you look at brands and part of your decision making is what sort of appeal will this have to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And just for me personally as the developer and one of the owners, I like dealing with Hilton, Marriott, and IHG, which is the parent company to, you know, brands like Holiday Inn and Candlewood and Holiday Inn Express, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really recognized as sort of the big three in our industry. And of course, you're investing in those brands because of their high standards
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the consumer knows or expects if they stay at a Fairfield by Marriott that they can expect a certain finish, a certain breakfast, a certain continuity.
Yeah,
with the quality.
Yeah,
and that's what they're paying for. They're paying for a high standard and a known standard.
Yeah, yep. No, it makes sense. How many
right.
rooms do we have? 40?
69.
Oh, 69, 70 almost.
Yep, so this is a four-story building. Three stories are hotel, 69 rooms. And that's, you know, just sort of was arrived on based on what we could develop. And, you know, whenever you do a hotel, you kind of end up with a certain number of rooms that is determined by space.
Sure.
And then the fourth floor has eight condominiums that have a extremely high-end finish, you know, granite countertops, stainless appliances. I mean, the best amenities that you could put in a condominium. They have a separate entrance, separate elevator. And then out
any
front...
Any sold yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've got two going on three. So right, nice. Probably more, actually.
So there's a demand for even that kind of...
Originally, product. Our strategy was we were just going to finish one and then do the remainder, just sort of vanilla shell to a sheetrock finish, and then let buyers kind of finish them off. But as we got into the project and there was significant interest, it became evident that, you know, a buyer with who our customer turned out to be was a little different than what I thought. That buyer wanted to see those units finished and just wanted to make a decision. They didn't really want to go through the grind of necessarily picking out all those things and kind of creating a job for themselves. So we did a 180 and decided to finish them off completely and then try to mirror the condos to our hotel, which was this idea that we would be at the top of the market.
Yeah, it sounds like an amazing project. And I think people can see them. You mentioned in June you're going to have open houses, right?
Yeah, what we're planning is we expect the hotel to be done sometime the end of June. I can't say for sure if it's going to be the 1st of July or June 25th or whenever. But
the target is to be available for the 4th of July.
Yes, we're definitely pushing to be open at the middle end of June. The condos we expect to be done around June 1st.
Okay.
And so once completed, what we would like to do is, you know, maybe run a full page ad and in an organized way invite the public.
Yeah.
We might do a, you know, kind of an initial invitation only event and then just do an invitation to the public, because really a hotel like this, a project like this in a town like Detroit Lakes, you know, our salespeople are really our partners and our neighbors. And when folks come to town, we'd want them to be thinking of us and refer us. And if we do a good job, get them a chance to see the end product, then we hope that that's what happens.
For the hotel, for example, if someone's would like to reserve a room for the 4th of July weekend,
right,
is that already like the Marriott, like if you go on the website, if you call the Marriott, are they able to reserve a room? Or I don't know, I'm just
actually
asking.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting process, because I would love to be live on the reservation system, but they don't allow that.
Oh, okay.
But what they can what they can do is that, you know, if someone's having a wedding, they're usually you know, pretty aggressive at seeking out opportunities and they want to know. So we do have a phone number.
Okay.
And if anybody were to call the city.
What's your phone number? 218?
It's funny. I don't even know what the number is. I'm not involved in it. We have a management company that handles all that.
Yeah,
but if they were to call the city, or if you were to Google it or whatever, we do have a 218 phone number.
Okay.
And they can call that number, and that number goes to a third party company that we've hired to actually manage this hotel, a professional hotel management company.
Sure.
So we've partnered with a company that manages 40 other nationally branded hotels to run this one.
Okay.
And that phone call will go to an actual person.
Yeah.
And they will
record,
communicate with you and tell you when they think we're going to be open, and you know, kind of probably initially help you make a decision if you should really be counting on us being open for your whatever your travel plans are.
Yeah. Fascinating. So tell us a little bit more now about the restaurant. So we have more.
Yeah.
We have a lot going on that corner.
Yeah, the restaurant is kind of gone through a number of iterations. Originally, that was scheduled to be just a single-story, 4,000-square-foot kind of square building.
Okay.
As we looked at the options and the drainage and the parking and all the things you have to consider, we came up with a different concept. The restaurant's still 4,000 feet, but it's actually two stories. So you've got 2,000 feet on the main level, and then you've got 1,500 square feet second story that's covered indoor, and then there's 500 square feet of outdoor patio second level.
Nice.
And so the name of the restaurant's Hub 41. That's the official name. And they're going to have a really kind of cool upscale kind of burger. So you'd be burgers, wraps, but you'll also be able to get some high-end menu items on there as well. Something you'd expect to maybe see, and just to give an example, if you were down in Lake Minnetonka, this restaurant would fit on Lake Minnetonka in terms of the quality of the finish and the quality of the menu and so on and so forth.
So it's going to be a pretty contemporary, upbeat,
very much so,
location, and directly not... no better view actually available.
Nope. And great operators with this great track record, and people who have been in this business, you know, most of their adult lives, which is of course important to us, because that restaurant is also providing all the room service to our hotel.
Oh.
And also providing delivery to all of our condo owners.
Oh.
So if somebody owns a condo, they can have a house account and take delivery of food. And
sure.
Yeah, so I mean, we have a lot of faith in them, obviously, to allow that.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking 4,000 square feet on two levels, I think. 2,000,
right.
1,500 plus 500. How many seats is that? Is it like, do you know?
Well,
I don't know.
You know, I'd have to go back and look. I'm not really sure what their fire code is, but obviously there's, if I had to estimate, I'd say a couple hundred people.
Yeah, yeah, I would
just
say
ballpark.
At least.
Yeah,
yeah. And I don't know if I saw a drawing. The upstairs, and I think I drove by, it looks like a wave.
Yeah, what we did is we tried to mirror, if you look at the drive under we have, when you would, you know, the drive under
yeah.
the front of the hotel has kind of a wave feature to it. And we tried to sort of mirror that same architectural design in the roof of the hotel, which is sort of symbolizing a wave.
Sure.
And,
I mean, we're at the water.
You know, hopefully we don't see any waves that big, but.
Yeah, hopefully no.
Yeah, it's more about the color. So what you're trying to do there with a separate building is. And I've always kind of used this analogy. When you're doing multiple buildings on the same site, you want those buildings to be cousins.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them to be twins.
No.
That'd be very boring. But we want cousins. So similar traits, but still different, but having a theme.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did there. We wanted similar traits to the hotel, but also have its own identity.
Yeah.
So the wave was kind of our commonality, and then colors from there vary. Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, you know, and I think the listener knows by now, according to my accent, they know I'm from Germany. In Europe, we always open up everything
yeah.
a little bit more than here. And
must not have bugs in Germany.
I know, but like I was just going to say, there's always this, like, we have bugs. But you know what? In the summer, I actually don't really have bugs, especially in a city environment.
Yeah.
Don't they open the top up? And you know, if you have a patio.
Yeah, I think the second floor has the capability of doing that. I don't
yeah,
know
I
to
so.
What extent.
Yeah.
You know, and I've mainly been looking at their floor plans. I haven't really
yeah.
looked at some of those amenities, but they've got a very well thought out building there. And when they came back to us with the two story and the same square footage, I wasn't sure because I wondered if that would get to be a little bit tight. But you know, if you go look at kind of all the newer restaurants and where they're trending, it's smaller square footage.
Oh yeah.
You know, all these new restaurants are between 3,000 and 5,000 square feet, and it's turning tables every 45 minutes. And
yeah.
This one will probably be a little bit different because people will want to sit and look out the window. But
hopefully, yeah.
That's good too.
They drink double. No.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't have any ownership in that, but I hope they do well because they're on our site. So,
yeah. yeah. No, I actually love hospitality myself. But I like to enjoy places, and I think it's just the perfect location. I could see myself having like an after work beer, even as a resident.
Right.
The tourist, anyways. I mean, I'm here to look at the lake, and I actually miss that a little bit to be accessible with my eye to
yeah.
the lake, which is why I came. And I think this is like a premier spot.
Yep, we've only got a couple of rooms that don't have a view of the lake, which how it's. Positioned, and in fact, they'll see the restaurant.
Okay.
So those are obviously always the last ones you rent.
Yeah.
But out of 69 rooms, you know, there's probably 65 or 66 that have a view of some kind of the lake with how they're positioned.
Despite the fact that it looks like in a rectangular position.
Yeah, the hotel.
So, yeah.
The hotel runs exactly parallel to Washington. So if you're on either side of the building, you'll see out to the east or the west.
So on little or big.
Yeah, to the one side, you'll see the park, but you can see the lake out there partially
yeah.
through the trees.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, of course, if it's not just those couple rooms that are looking kind of out at the restaurant, every other one sees out and can see the lake from there as well, especially if you're on the third floor, some incredible views from the third floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's
the condos have the best view of all. Every condo has a patio and has a direct lake view.
Yeah.
So it's.
I'm excited to go up in June. Everybody is able to visit.
Yeah, just you know, whatever the local newspaper is here. What is the local newspaper called? It's DL.
The Tribune.
I always think of DL Online because I always look at it online on the.
Yeah, DLOnline.com. It's
yeah.
the DL Tribune. Tribune.
So yeah. So anyway,
it will be in there.
It'll be in both. I'm
we
sure.
We will announce it. We
yep.
we will have and we have a LakeLifeWeekend.com has events, and we probably announce that there too.
So what we're envisioning there is, you know, open house for both the condos and the hotel, and then working with our restaurant partner to have some sort of hors d'oeuvre offering for everybody and just turn it into a fun event.
Schedule for the restaurant is also June to have doors open?
They'll probably be open before us.
Okay.
The way things are looking. I don't want to speak for them, but at the pace we're going and visiting with them here about a week ago, yeah, I think they'll be ahead of us a little bit.
Awesome. Really good.
Yeah. We've had a couple, I don't want to call it delays, but when you're working on something that takes a year, you know, 2 weeks here or there, we really wanted to be open June 1st, but middle, end of June, you know, in the course of a 12-month project like this with all the front-end work we had to do. You know, there was a number of older homes and a motel and a bunch of other things on the site. They were full of asbestos and lead-based paint, which had to be removed in a very specific way, you know, environmentally.
So, yeah.
And so first we had to do that before we could demolish anything, and then you had your demolition, and then there were some soils in there that couldn't support a building that had to be rectified. And so it was probably a good month and a half, maybe 2 months, before we actually started any sort of meaningful construction on that site.
Well, fascinating, and I'm glad that after 2.5 years of preparing and executing, now we will be open soon, and good luck for sure. I think it is a great addition to the local area. Thank you for coming in, Troy.
Oh, thank you.
And good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.